Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
So after Argentina's win over England in the World Cup semi last week, players unfurled a banner on the pitch, and they might actually get in trouble for doing it. It read, Las Malvinas son Argentinas. How good's your Spanish? It actually means Las Malvinas, the Argentinian name for the Falklands, are Argentinas. All tournament, Argentinian fans have been chanting this. It's another reference to the Malvinas, or the Falkland Islands, as the English call them, alongside Diego Maradona and Lionel Messi. Outside of Argentina, you might be forgiven for thinking that the dispute over the Falklands or the Malvinas was all over in 1982 when the British repelled an Argentinian invasion. So they saw it as. They saw it as retaking control. But the British repelled that. But clearly, the Argentinians don't see it that way. So tonight we thought we'd dive into what actually happened in 1982 in an Andrew Mountbatten Windsor free zone, and why tensions over the island are particularly high right now. Dr. Vicky Capogianni is an associate professor in international and environment law at the University of Reading. Vicky, lovely to meet you.
Hello, good evening, Livy.
That was a big introduction, but we kind of needed to set it up because I think that was the last time I thought about the Malvinas was Thatcher, England, helicopters. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But to be honest, well, in the news, it's not very often displayed. But for us, the international lawyers, that we are dealing with environmental issues at the same time, and the project of exploration, the oil exploration of the Sea Lion field was coming up, and they were trying to get approval since 2010. It was something that would occupy us quite often, so the last 15 years, actually, since they got the approval and they contracted all the operators so they can start working on this project. So, yeah.
It's front of mind then still for Argentinians, even though a lot of us have forgotten what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Well, yes. I don't think they have forgotten what happened, because for Argentinians, the Malvinas aren't a distant historical issue, actually. They're part of their national identity. Mind you that Las Malvinas is taught in the school, the claim is written into the constitution, and you will find Las Malvinas on Argentinas, on street signs, stamps, everywhere. So even as you, we have recently seen all onto the world stage. So I think it's quite present still.
How close to Argentina are the Malvinas? I feel awkward calling them the Falklands to you. I feel awkward.
Well, we're talking now about a group of islands in the South Atlantic, and we're talking about 500 kilometers off the east coast of Argentina and almost 13,000 kilometers from the UK. So,
wow.
They are very much in Argentina's neighborhood, which is a big part of why Argentina feels so strongly about them.
It's interesting because last night we were talking about Gibraltar, which was also a British colony, but it borders Spain. And we've got the Malvinas, that is also a British colony within Argentina. It's funny, isn't it? It almost seems anachronistic that this could still happen.
Yes, but the thing is that the history here is actually quite tangled. And
let's go slow. I want to understand. So take me through it.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I'm not a historian, but because of my research, I have to delve deep into the historical part of the Falklands or Las Malvinas, depending who's speaking. I'm going to use both, you know, interchangeably. So the history is quite tangled from what I have seen and researched at the same time. Starting with the French, which were the first Europeans to establish a settlement there in the 1760s. At Port Louis, I think around 1764. So, and then later was transferred to the to Spain in 1767, which Spain administered the Falklands through the fluid Buenos Aires based authorities. So after independence from Spain in 1816, Argentina argued that it inherited Spain's territorial claims under the international law principle of iuti possidetis iuris. I'm sorry, I promise I'm going to leave all the jargon out of the conversation today. But this is a very important point because iuti possidetis iuris in international law means the new states inherit the territories of their former colonial powers.
Oh, that makes
sense. So based on that,
that's interesting. That is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So if Spain occupied Argentina, that means Argentina owns the Falklands because they were formerly colonized by Spain.
Exactly, and that's it is their basic claim actually.
Right.
Because after their independence, they inherited Spain's territorial claims, and this is where they established their own presence on the islands in the 1820s.
So how did England get involved? How did the British settlers turn up on the islands?
Well, this is where it gets interesting because Britain re-established its presence in 1833 and has administered the islands ever since. So Argentina has disputed that claim ever since, which is why the sovereignty issue remains so sensitive today. So the issue is that once Britain or the UK re-established its presence, many of the settlers who came under British administration were of British origin, such as Scottish, Welsh, English, and later other backgrounds. So they came largely because of the opportunities presented there, such as sheep farming, which became the backbone of the island's economy, but also by work linked to the sea, including fishing and maritime industries. So over generations, they built a permanent community and strong connection to the islands with a very strong Scottish imprint in the on the Falklands.
A Scottish imprint. How interesting. And sorry, I've just missed how the British settlers got there. Why did they get there? Did they just decide to go there or...?
Well, we go far back from that because the British and Spanish settlements coexisted in the archipelago until 1774. But then, at some point, Britain's new economic and strategic considerations led to withdraw the garrison from the islands, and they left. But interestingly enough, they left a plaque claiming the Falklands for King George III.
Right.
So they left, and when they reappeared, the Argentina had already established there because of the transferred claims that they got from Spain.
It is complicated, isn't it?
It is very complicated, actually. And that's why the question remains unresolved till today.
Have the people on the Falklands, Maldives, ever voted themselves to establish their own identity, what they want to be?
Well, indeed. And we had the referendum in 2013 with an overwhelming majority of votes casting for remaining under the Crown dependency, okay, remain a British overseas territory. But the thing is that despite the self-determination right that the Falkland, the islanders have, the problem of sovereignty remains unresolved. So nothing further can be done unless the two parties decide on how they will move forward. And this is why actually the invasion of 1982 happened.
What was that invasion? Obviously, that means Argentina invaded. And just before we go any further, what is the Falkland Islands? Like, is it two islands and it's got a lot of little islands around it? Or, like, what is it made up of?
Okay. When we're referring to Falkland Islands, we're talking about a group of islands in the South Atlantic Two main islands, East and West Falkland, with Stanley being the capital. And then there are hundreds of smaller islands surrounding it.
The capital of the Falkland Islands is called Stanley.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That is very Scottish.
Exactly.
I didn't know. And what does it look like?
Well, I've never been there, to be honest, but they are things like windswept grasslands, rocky coastlines, not many trees. It's a place that feels like it's at the edge of the world, remote, exposed, almost like the last stop before Antarctica.
Right.
But despite that isolation, I must say that it's full of life. There are penguins, seals, albatrosses, among its most famous wildlife. And of course, the sea is everywhere. It shapes the landscape, the economy, and importantly, the political debate around the islands.
Right. And do you know the political identity of the islands? Are they self-governing?
They are, actually, and they have their own government, elected government. So now that they have been declared since the 1840 that they have been a British colony or a crown dependency, or as we call them, a British Overseas Territory, they have been a strong military, a defence presence, a British defence presence that deals with defence and foreign affairs. But the elected government deals with domestic issues and local matters.
So there have been all of these competing claims. What drove Argentina to launch the invasion in 1982? Getting back on track. Now I can see the place.
Okay. So we're talking about a combination of factors here, okay? Argentina was ruled by a military dictatorship at the time. And the junta was facing serious economic problems and growing public discontent. So the junta saw the Malvinas issue as a way partly to rally nationalist support and distract from the domestic crisis. But the thing is that the sovereignty claim itself is much older. Argentina had been disputing, actually, British control for more than 150 years. And negotiations with Britain during the 1960s and the 1970s had gone nowhere. So in 1982, the military regime decided to act and launch the invasion, believing it could force a change in the situation, in the Argentina situation.
And what happened? Margaret Thatcher said what?
Oh, well, this is a big momentum, actually, a big moment, political moment for Margaret Thatcher, that where she responded by sending a naval task force, massive.
Was that a distraction from other stuff that was going on in England at the time?
Well, she had to demonstrate that she's still on top of the game.
Yeah.
So she sent a massive military operation across 13,000 kilometers of ocean. That should mean something. So it was an extraordinary logistical effort, which involved thousands of personnel and a large fleet. So, as we know, the conflict lasted 74 days and cost over 900 lives. Around 650 Argentine personnel and 255 British servicemen.
How did they secure that victory, the British?
That's very interesting because it came down again to a combination of factors. The first, its ability to project this naval power over such a long distance. Also, they managed to gain increasing control of the air and, of course, the effectiveness of its forces on the ground. So it was a very difficult campaign fought in extremely challenging conditions.
It's been nearly 45 years since all of that happened. Why are the tensions particularly high right now?
One of the biggest new developments, the sea lion extraction oil, is what has been bringing this tension to the forefront. Because now we're talking about a major oil field, the Sea Lion, about 220 kilometers north of the Falklands. And the outcome of this would have a huge revenue transformation for the islanders and, of course, everyone involved. So no doubt why there is some tension right now.
The Argentinian president, Javier Milei, has ramped up his rhetoric around the islands. He says he'll do everything possible to get control of them again. What can he actually do?
I would say that in practical terms, Argentina's options are limited. Of course, a return to military action is not a realistic option. Okay, the situation since 1982 is very different now because the UK maintains a permanent defence presence, and any attempt to use force would carry major military risks and diplomatic consequences. Okay, so its approach has focused on diplomatic, political, and of course, legal pressure. At the same time, Argentina has introduced laws aimed at discouraging unauthorized exploration in areas it considers its waters, and it has taken action against companies involved in Falklands oil exploration. So as we have seen on the news from time to time, it continues to raise the issue internationally, particularly in regional forums where it receives significant support. And of course, as we saw the other day on to the messages that were displayed through the banner on the World Cup stage.
So in actual fact, we're talking about ownership over new oil discoveries, and we're talking about an identity issue, and we're actually all talking about maritime rights. We're talking about law as it applies to the laws of the sea.
Exactly.
Wow.
Under the United Convention on the Law of the Sea.
Now, how did that work with Australia and East Timor? Have they got a similar kind of thing going on?
Similar, I wouldn't call it, okay? In my research, I used the Australia-East Timor arrangement as a model because it sets a very useful precedent.
Which is? Okay?
Which is the Australia and Timor-Leste had a long-running dispute over maritime boundaries and offshore resources in the Timor Sea. So instead of allowing the disagreement to continue indefinitely, they used the compulsory conciliation process under the United Conventions on the Law of the Sea.
Right.
And in 2018, reached an agreement establishing a permanent maritime boundary. And of course, that's the most important part, a framework for managing the Greater Sunrise Gas Field, including how revenues would be shared.
All comes back to that, doesn't it?
Exactly. But mind you that neither side got everything it originally wanted, but they found a practical arrangement that allowed both countries to benefit. So I would say for the Falklands, the lesson is not that the situations are identical, but that it may be possible to create cooperation around shared interests, such as fisheries, environmental protection, or resources, without requiring either side to abandon its sovereignty position.
Ah, so they just put the difficult issue to the side and work out all the issues around it.
Well, they have to move forward somehow. Otherwise, for nearly 200 years, the dispute remains unresolved.
It's like having the family over for Christmas and it's a long-running family saga that this one has never, ever, ever been sorted. It's so interesting. Vicky, thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Vicky Capogianni, Associate Professor in International and Environment Law at the University of Reading. I bet you didn't think we were going to get a lesson in maritime law on Weekend Nightlife tonight, but that is the history of the Falklands. Vicky, great to be with you.
Thank you for inviting me. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.